Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Former President Trump has launched a new campaign.
In 2016, he got a preponderance of the attention because it was the carnival anytime he had a speech.
If we hope to survive in this digital age, we have to think critically about the messages we consume. Someone created those messages for a reason. Let's find out why. Sometimes we just have to ask, what the media? I'm Megan Lynch, reporter and on-air host at KMOX Radio in St. Louis. I'm joined by Julie Smith, author of the book Master the Media, How Teaching Media Literacy Can Save Our Plugged-In World. In this episode,
Trump is on record as saying part of his strategy was to discredit the press because of its fact-checking function. So that he could say whatever he wanted to the American public and not worry about being corrected on it.
Donald Trump running for president in the 2024 election. How should journalists and media outlets cover his campaign? We asked John Marshall, associate professor at the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University.
I think with Donald Trump, we have to be careful to make sure we're sticking with the facts. And as with any politician, if they say something that is incorrect, that is immediately fact-checked and not included in the story, or if it is included in a story, to put it in the full context of what is true. Donald Trump lied repeatedly about the results of the 2020 election, so any story about him running in 2024 needs to put that in context.
I think it's interesting you bring up the term lied. I have never heard journalists before in the decades that I've been doing this say that someone has lied, but yet I've heard that over and over again now, you know, for the past couple of years. It's a real shift in the verbiage that reporters and anchors are using.
It absolutely is. And it really began in 2016 during that election campaign that some news outlets started to refer to Trump's misstatements as lies. And you're absolutely correct that previously journalists were reluctant to say that somebody was lying because lying implies that there's an intent to it, that they are purposefully doing something. And certainly every president, probably almost every president politician at some time has said something that's not true, maybe by mistake, maybe because they're tired, or maybe on purpose. With Trump, he would say something that was not true. He would be corrected on it, and then he would say it again, and he would be corrected on it, and he would say it again. And when there's that repeated kind of pattern, I think that's when journalists can really safely say that there is some intention behind the misstatement. And Trump is on record as saying part of his strategy was to discredit the press because of its fact-checking function, so that he could say whatever he wanted to the American public and not worry about being corrected on it. So I think in this case with Trump and with any politician who repeatedly says something that's not true, even when the evidence has been presented to them that they are saying something that's wrong. I think in those situations, it's accurate to call it a lie.
Professor, we've actually spoke with some academics who suggest that it's time for journalists to leave objectivity behind and advocate for certain causes or even certain movements or politicians. How do you feel that that relates in what looks to be a Trump 2024 candidacy?
Another fantastic question. We should keep in mind that advocating in the press has a very long tradition, dating back to at least the American Revolution, when newspapers and pamphlets that supported the revolution very openly advocated against the British and for the Declaration of Independence and the revolution. And that tradition continued with the abolitionist press, who opposed slavery quite openly. They didn't pretend to be neutral on slavery. It continued with the black press during the civil rights movement, when they were very clear that they were against lynching and racial terror, and that black people should have full civil rights in the United States. And there's dozens and dozens of examples of that. So there's nothing new about an advocating press. But what I think journalists should do, whether they are openly advocating for a cause, and if you are advocating, you should be transparent and open about it, or if they're really trying to follow an objective model, what we need to do as journalists is always seek the truth and report the facts and verify the information we get. And if you want to be in an advocating position and push for a cause or push for a political position, you can do that, but you need to follow the facts where they lead you. And sometimes the facts might lead you in a direction that goes against your original hypothesis or goes against your original cause. In that case, journalists need to be honest about it and say, wait a second, there's more information here. Here's the truth about it. But no matter whether you're following an objective model or that long tradition of advocacy, it's the truth that we should be interested in.
Is this going to be a hard task for reporters? Because reporters and news outlets have faced now years of criticism from the former president. It's highly likely that many of them have formed very strong opinions about him. How do they handle that?
I think it's a more intensified version of what has already probably occurred throughout history. Reporters, journalists, like anyone else, have opinions about things. It's hard to say that we have opinions about nothing. But as part of our discipline, as I talked about earlier, we look for the facts, we look for context, we make sure we verify the information we have. And I think that still remains true with Donald Trump or any current politician running for office, that we may have strong opinions one way or the other, and Trump has some fans in the media as well. So whether you might vote for Trump or vote against Trump, you still need to follow the evidence where it takes you. I think we just need to do our jobs is better than ever, because the political atmosphere is so intense and so polarized, and so many people are keeping an eye on what the press is doing. It just puts more responsibility on our shoulders to be better than ever.
Professor, you mentioned the serious responsibility that the press has when it comes to covering these issues, and I completely agree. What scares me is that people are so likely to choose news sources that align with their previously held beliefs. How do we help people go beyond their bubbles, for lack of a better term, and really learn what might actually be happening?
I think I've seen that on your show. You've talked before about news literacy as being something that's very important. And I talk about that in the last chapter of my book, Clash Presidents in the Press in Times of Crisis, the importance of media literacy, which I think should be taught in the schools just as much as algebra or poetry is taught. I love poetry. I think algebra is important, and I think media literacy is equally as important. People should understand how the algorithms on social media work to push people into more polarized extremes in terms of the content that they're consuming, and that the algorithms push us more towards strong emotions like anger and fear than they do towards sort of reasoned and careful discussion. People should be aware of how propaganda works and some of the tools that have been employed in the past and are being deployed today. People should understand how advertising works and how it tries to manipulate our desires to go for a certain product or to go for a certain politician. People should understand how journalism itself works and what the reporting process is like, and that reporters just don't sit at a desk and try to pick things out of thin air, but the process of interviewing people, the process of research, the process of verifying information. And what good journalists do if they get something wrong is they correct it immediately as soon as they find out about it. People should learn how to recognize when someone is pushing an opinion rather than a fact-based report, and the kinds of styles that are used that rely heavily on adjectives, rely heavily on emotions rather than on presenting information. So I think that should be taught in the schools, and I wish there were ways to get that in the hands of every adult as well, because I think sometimes the younger generation is more savvy than the older generation is in consuming media.
The former president utilized social media platforms to his advantage. Will he have the same influence in this campaign?
Well, you said the former president used social media. We should acknowledge that Barack Obama, before Donald Trump, used social media very effectively as well. Donald Trump relied primarily on Twitter. Obama used Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google Hangouts, when Google Hangouts still existed, and other social media. But I think Trump was a master at using Twitter to motivate his base, particularly, and to get attention.
Is this a catch-22 in how we will cover this presidential campaign? Kind of a damned if we do, damned if we don't. You know, which live speeches do we take? Which candidates do we give time to? How do we handle that as broadcast outlets and as journalism outlets?
Well, I think we should have a consistent, fair standard. If Donald Trump is getting a certain amount of airtime, any other contender who's polling above a certain number should get that same kind of airtime that he is. In 2016, he got a preponderance of the attention because it was the carnival. Anytime he had a speech, both in terms of his performance and the crowd, it was a spectacle, and the media gravitated to it. It gave places like CNN high ratings, but it was not serving the public very well because other candidates were not getting the same kind of attention. So I think we really need to have a standard where all candidates have an equal shot at getting their messages heard through the media.
Do you have any concern that because he is in the race, it will cause us to overcompensate when it comes to our coverage?
It's hard to predict that. I'm confident Donald Trump will get lots of attention, that despite efforts by the media to be more balanced, he's very effective at saying things that grab attention. And my guess is he'll continue to be able to do that.
I'm wondering at this point, is there anything that presidential candidates could do that they can't undo, like an unforgivable sin? Have we gotten to that point in politics?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it used to be a sex scandal might do you in. You know, it used to be abuse of presidential power did Richard Nixon in. But you know, Trump encouraged an insurrection, an attack on the U.S. Capitol, an attack on one of our branches of government, and he's still a political player after that. But I do think his efforts on behalf of the insurrection, his connection with the insurrection, is one reason that Trump-backed candidates did not do particularly well in the midterms, that it turned off enough independents and moderate Republicans that the Democrats were able to do better than expected. So I would think that, you know, a treasonous revolt against the U.S. Capitol would be enough to completely eliminate someone from U.S. politics, but it may have been enough to at least not make Trump the winner of the Republican nomination or the winner of the 2024 election. We'll obviously have to see what happens.
That's Professor John Marshall from Northwestern University. What the Media is produced by Odyssey St. Louis from the studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Megan Lynch with Julie Smith. Our executive producer is Beth Coughlin. We invite you to visit KMOX.com for more on our media literacy project.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.